Part 31, Chapter 8. Unfortunately for Johnny, it proved to be a rather well-traveled passageway, or people found excuses to travel it just so they could see him there. Chrissy found him.
I'm awfully sorry we overlooked Patty. I thought you were coming right behind us and had her, and then when I saw she wasn't there, I ran out again, but you had taken off.
Patty was standing behind her, looking at Johnny.
But that isn't what I must talk to you about.
She produced from behind her an envelope and began to take things out of it. One glimpse of them told Johnny that Dries had been up to something else. They were the proof sheets, all marked specimen, not valid for exchange, of the new Galactic Bank money. There were 4 coins of different size and 4 bills of different size. The coins were different geometric shapes, well stamped. The paper and printing were excellent. Johnny couldn't imagine what was wrong with them.
This 11th of a credit coin is not too bad. It's green and you can't see it. The 3/11 coin, this blue one, is not too awful because you can't see it either. This red metal 5/11 coin is barely passing. The yellow 6/11 coin just won't do.
Hearing Chrissy expound upon money was novel. She had probably never used it in her whole life.
But the smallest to the largest paper banknotes are what you should be concerned about. I told Dries I was very upset. This is the 1 credit note. And this here is what they call the 11 credit note, but it says 10.
Cyclo number system. It's based on 11, not 10. 10 means 1 unit of 11s plus 0 units of 1s, which equals 11. So an 11 credit note would be written in numbers as 10.
I'll take your word for it,
sighed Chrissy.
But that's not what I'm mad about. Here, look at these. This one is the 100 credit note. It says 100, but it's the same as 121 1 credit notes. Yes, yes, I know. Cyclo numbers.
She showed Johnny one more.
And this one is the 1331 credit note.
Johnny had been looking at them. The coins had larger and larger stamps on them. The banknotes looked startlingly glossy with their shimmer paper.
I'm sorry. I don't see anything wrong with them.
It's the face! Look, on the coins, they have your face in profile, and you can't see it on the smaller ones. But you can on the yellow one because it's big enough. The nose! Your nose isn't turned up at the end!
Johnny took the coins. Yes, it sure was a turned-up nose.
And these bills! I don't care if it is hard to reproduce accurately, like Dries said. They made your skin grayish. The eyes have too big a lid. And Johnny, your ears aren't like that. These look more like gills.
Johnny took the bills. Sure enough, they had changed the portraits. Then he barked a laugh. He still looked enough like himself for no real dispute to rise. But they had shifted it over so he slightly resembled a Salachi. Great. Less chance of being pointed at in the hills. But Johnny had learned a lot about diplomacy.
I'm sorry you don't like them, Chrissy.
Oh, it's not that. It just doesn't look like you.
I'm afraid it would cost an awful lot and make a lot of trouble to change them now. Maybe the next issue.
That seemed to mollify her, and she put them back in the envelope and walked off, noting from the way he seemed to have nailed himself down that he might have to be fed lunch there. Patty stayed behind and sat down on the floor. She still seemed very thoughtful, but she was not as dull as she had been. Kerr came up the ramp, followed by about 30 assorted ex-Marines, Jambachows, Drawkins, and a couple of Hockners. Kerr went on by with a friendly hello. But when the others got abreast of Johnny, they suddenly realized who was sitting there. They recoiled so hard against the far side of the passage that they bounced. They instantly raced up to be in front of Kerr. Johnny had not missed it. He called out,
Kerr!
The midget Cyclo walked back to him, leaving his group standing up the passageway.
Kerr, what have you been telling those ex-soldiers?
Nothing,
said Kerr, amber eyes glowing with innocence back of the faceplate.
They're just kind of hard to handle sometimes.
Well, whatever that nothing was, you straighten it out.
Of course,
said Kerr. He turned and yelled up at the group.
It's all right. He isn't mad at you right now.
They all seemed so relieved. Johnny gave Kerr a very suspicious eye. The midget yelled at the Hockner ex-officer to take them to the garage and get busy washing down machines, and then turned back to Johnny.
You had me scared there for a moment. I thought you'd really caught up with me.
Something else?
Said Johnny. Ha ha. Well, it wasn't true that he had been the only one here when everybody, including the Mountains of the Moon people, had taken off for Edinburgh to help. They'd left their old ones and their kids. And he'd gotten bored just sitting with a blast rifle in his lap up the corridor there, and he'd found one of the old ones spoke a funny kind of Dutch. That's an Earth language, or was. And Kerr had found a vocoder in the Chinko bin that had had Dutch in it. So he'd amused himself by telling the old ones stories to relay to the kids that were always hanging around. The children had been pretty shy at first, thinking he was a monster and all, so he'd told them that he was really human, that he had a human mother and father. But his mother had been scared by a cyclo, and so when he was born, he looked this way. But he'd be honest with Johnny and level with him because he was a boyhood friend, and Kerr confessed he was only half human.
Not to change the subject,
said Kerr, doing it.
But I heard you say something about handling a problem. I can't wash vehicles forever. When are you going to get busy and nail Maz so I can get this mine going again?
I'm working on it right now,
said Johnny. He looked at his watch. Another hour and a half to go. And then he'd have an idea whether it would fully work or not.